Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Radio Vision, episode 14. I am your host, John Swansong Parker, and sitting across the beautiful mahogany-rich table from me to talk about Batman the Animated Series is my good friend, Zach Rotello. How's it going, Zach?
Good evening, sir. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure to talk a little Batman with you.
Yeah, we're a little late on getting to this. We've had some scheduling issues around Indiana Jones and the 4th of July holiday, but hey, you know, that's what we do.
We've been busy, boys. If you've caught up on our other content, you know that we've been busy and we've still been providing.
Yeah, yeah. And this is, you know, Radio Vision is the offshoot of Radiovania. Yeah, I think it's safe to say that sometimes Radiovania has just got to come first. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But Radio Vision, right now, we've been going through and reviewing and talking about each episode of Batman the Animated Series. We're already 14 episodes of the pod in. You take that, multiply it by three-ish.
37 episodes.
Plus, one of those was only Heart of Ice, so it's actually probably a little bit, you know, a little bit less than that, but over 30 episodes of Batman the Animated Series.
So pretty crazy. All the episode titles almost fill an entire Google Doc.
We're almost going to have to get to page two here pretty soon. But
this is going to be heinous when we're done.
Yeah, it's going to get wild. But if you like the show and you're curious about some of the other stuff, check us out at Radiovania.com or search for us on YouTube. Just search for Radiovania to find some of our video content. You can also follow us on Radiovania Show on Instagram.com, Radiovania on Twitter. We're going on Threads, which we'll talk about in the main show too. Is it just Radiovania on
Radiovania
Threads?
Show is on Threads.
Radiovania
Show.
Yeah,
so if you follow our
Threads
profile on Instagram, you will also be able to see our Threads account. But yeah, we're on Threads. We're making the jump into the 21st century.
Yeah. And then if you need to send us any correspondence, you can use radiovisionshow@gmail.com.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Zach, I'm not going to belabor the point any longer. We watched three episodes.
We did.
A while ago. Some of us rewatched them recently just to keep it fresh in our mind from the pod.
Yeah.
But tonight we're talking about Night of the Ninja, Cat Scratch Fever, and The Strange Secret of Bruce Wayne. So if you haven't watched those yet, go check those out and then come back. You know, pause this pod and then come back and listen to us talk about it. So, do you want to just dive right on in?
I'd say we just dive right on in, man. I mean, they know what we're about.
They know
here.
What to do.
I think Radio Vision, you know, we're here to provide some like literary analysis here. Mm-hmm. I feel like people are less inclined to, you get the banter on the full episode.
It's more of like a morphine injection of Batman every once in a while. We're just like, I need to go back to Gotham.
It's when Pattinson switches that thing on his leg and then just
Yeah. The green venom. Yeah. So let's dive into Night of the Ninja, our first episode of the evening. And Night of the Ninja is written by Stephen Perry and directed by Kevin Altieri. The title card watch for this episode is this. I'm showing Zach across because I didn't have time to add it to the doc. So pretty standard, kind of reminds me of Samurai Jack a little bit, but just kind of like cartoon ninja with some pretty cool font.
Samurai Jack is a good pull.
Yeah. But I do love the color aspects, that it's kind of like a little bit of yellow, a little bit of black.
Sure.
Adds to some nice contrast. So
yeah,
I'm going to dive in with our 2-minute plot synopsis here, and then we can talk about the episode.
Let's do it.
At Wayne Cosmetics, a ninja breaks in to steal money from a safe. Back at Wayne Manor, Bruce and Dick are sparring, and Alfred informs Bruce of another Wayne Enterprises robbery, the 7th in this week. At the scene of the crime, Gordon asks Bruce if he recognizes a ninja star. Flashback to Bruce's martial arts training, where Bruce gets his ass kicked by a ninja named Kyote Ken, who mocks him. Their sensei breaks up the fight, and Bruce prices Ken's demon tattoo on his back. It's like this gigantic Ben Affleck back tattoo. The sensei catches Bruce practicing, telling him that he is obsessed, and Bruce claims that he has to be the best. If you're a Batman fan, you know that this is because of the vow that he made to his parents to be the best crime fighter. Back in the present day, the ninja attempts another robbery, but is met by Batman this time. They fight on the roof, and then a ninja sprays Batman with gas. Robin arrives in time to save Batman and chucks a batarang at the ninja and rips the back of his shirt open. Batman clocks the same tattoo that Ken sported years ago. Batman tells Robin about Bruce and Kyote Ken's pupilship in Japan. Dick asks Alfred if he knows anything about Kyote Ken, and Alfred admits that Ken was the only one that was able to consistently beat Bruce at the Sensei Academy. Flashback to the night that Kyote Ken attempted to steal the sensei's sword. They're about to duel when the sensei catches them and kicks them out of the dojo. Ken tells Wayne that he will get his revenge and take everything that Bruce has. Back in the present day, Summer Gleason questions Bruce at a gala, but then both are kidnapped by Kyote Ken. Robin suits up to look for Bruce, and then Ken claims that he's about to wire all of Wayne's money into his own account. Robin arrives on the scene and is ambushed by Kyote Ken and dispatched. Bruce and Ken duel, and Bruce is easily defeated. Then, later on, Robin is able to drop a batarang over a carpet so that Summer cannot witness Bruce's real skill. Bruce Wayne wins in a fight with Kyote Ken, but he escapes. Bruce then tells Dick that Summer was informed that Batman had arrived and defeated Kyote Ken after all, and thanks Dick for the assist. So, able to get out without revealing a secret identity, essentially. So, thanks to Robin. But, what'd you think of Night of the Ninja?
So before we dive into our thoughts about this episode, I think that it needs to be said that these three episodes came off of the last episode of Radio Vision, where we did Robin's Reckoning Part 1 and 2 and The Laughing Fish.
Yeah, big sophomore slump.
Yeah, so yeah. Immediately, I think that this episode, it's a decent episode. I think it's like... not fabulous. I don't think it's terrible. I think it's like right there in the middle. Like, I like the ninja stuff. I like him learning, you know, the flashbacks with Bruce and learning the arts of the ninja and the ninja way. I wonder like how much of that was like drawn as inspiration. I was curious to ask you about like the ninja elements of Bruce Wayne and Batman, like going back in the comics, like when that stuff was like introduced.
That was more later on. I think his origin in terms of training in like some type of ninja sensei temple kind of didn't really spring up until the 70s or the 80s, once they started to introduce Ra's al Ghul and the League of Assassins, and when the kung fu movie craze really hit Hollywood is when they started to incorporate kung fu characters into comic books like Shang-Chi and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, if you've seen Batman Begins, you know that he's studied with the League of Shadows in that movie. This is just a little bit more of a original take where he's studying in like I think it's Nanda Parbat is where he studies in the animated series.
So, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, overall, I think the episode is decent. I don't think it's like crazy great. The one thing that stands out for me on this episode, and maybe it's just because we just saw The Laughing Fish, but this episode visually I don't think is like super great. Like, this is like kind of like the B Squad animation. I didn't think a lot of the animation looked as crisp and clean as it usually does.
Yeah, I think the standout animation cell for me was probably when they're fighting in the water tower and is like kind of like illuminating where he is. Or maybe that's even a different episode. I can't quite remember.
I don't know.
I do like the hue of the flashbacks, though, where it's like it's got like this this just like it's like old timey contrast kind of.
It's like grainy. It's like a sepia filter or something.
Yeah,
like
for
that.
Sure. For sure. For sure. But yeah, I would agree with you. I don't think it's anything to write home about, but I did enjoy watching it. And Kyote Ken is a recurring villain. So,
in the rest of the animated series, too?
A couple episodes here or there.
Does it, this might be a spoiler to ask, but does he have like a conjunction with the League of Shadows and Ra's al Ghul? Like, do they talk about that at all?
Nope. There is Ra's al Ghul in the show, but not tied to that. He is not trained by Ra's al Ghul in this continuity, nor is he in the comics. That was only in Batman Begins.
So that was a Nolan thing. That was having a Nolan be trained thing by Ra's al Ghul
to make it more dramatically intense, which works for film. So
interesting. I would have guessed that was like a comic book origin textbook thing. I actually did not know that Batman was not trained in the comics by Ra's al Ghul.
There you go.
Learn something new every day.
Nice little surprise for you.
Learn something new every day. But yeah, I don't know. Overall, it's kind of like right in the middle. Like it's entertaining, but it's not. You know, I don't know. Robin is kind of an interesting thing in this episode. He kind of is like shows up and then pieces out and then shows back up again and then kind of over.
You'll kind of see as we progress into season or volumes 2 and 3 that they start to infuse Robin into more stuff, because after a while they did rename the show The Adventures of Batman and Robin for a little bit. So you'll see the title card or the title credits change after a while.
Really?
From the Batmobile thing at the beginning. Yeah. To Batman and Robin stuff. It's wild. We'll talk about it when we get there.
Yeah. I'm not even going to worry.
We'll save it for when we get there. But this is, it culminated with, or it kind of came in tandem with Batman Forever and the introduction of Robin in that movie. So they made Robin a more marketable character, and Robin was getting his own solo book at the time at DC Comics and stuff like that. So
They said Chris O'Donnell's just...
They said that Zach really loves this Robin character. We should really capitalize on it.
This Chris O'Donnell is like the best actor in Hollywood. We should absolutely make him part of the animated show.
He's great. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really know. There's not a whole lot. It's weird. It's like a very surface level episode. There's not a whole lot. There's really not a whole lot beneath the ice that's like kind of worth picking at, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like... He goes, he trains, they catch up with the guy, it's him with the tattoo. I thought it was interesting. It's kind of like shot, it's kind of like a noir, which a lot of these episodes kind of are.
For sure.
You follow the Batman, the detective, you figure out who this guy is, you track him down. There's not really an emotional thing, like even though they show like young Bruce Wayne flashbacks with the
I think ninja. It's more of just like getting over that hump of never being able to beat that guy, and now he's so skilled as Batman that he's able to take him down.
Sure.
That's kind of the emotional journey that he goes through in this episode.
Yeah. I don't know, what do you like the Batman ninja stuff?
Yeah, for the most part. I'm not a big kung fu, like, movie guy or anything like that, but I do like the Wolverine a lot, so I loved all, like, the dojo aspect of that.
Yeah.
I think it's cool, though, that he studied with, like, different masters and stuff like that.
Did you watch Batman Ninja? I think it was called Ninja Batman or something like that. Batman Ninja, like, the anime?
No.
I want to watch
that. The anime, yeah.
Tony Hale is the Joker, I think, right?
Oh, really? That's pretty cool.
I think so.
Buster
Bluth, yep.
I don't care about Lucille. So in terms of rating this thing, what we've resorted to is now, because the list has been getting so long, we are now deciding whether it's better or worse than like a medium point, and then we go from there. And the medium point that we have currently right now is our 20th best episode of Batman the Animated Series, which is On Leather Wings, which is like good and competent, looks good, feels like Batman the Animated Series. Cons are that it's not like a crazy good story and doesn't necessarily have like anything super remarkable.
Looks good, feels good. I think is what you're going to say. 20 and above.
Looks good, sounds good, smells good. Yeah. So do you think that this is better than On Leather Wings?
I would put this below. I think that this falls into the bottom half camp. And I don't necessarily think it's because it's bad. I just think it's because it just doesn't do anything. I think On Leather Wings just is more so what I'm looking for in an episode of Batman.
I agree. That being said, then after that, we have Feet of Clay Part 1, Be a Clown, Fear of Victory, Cat in the Claw Part 2. I don't think it's better than any of those.
Keep going.
So then that gets us to It's Never Too Late, which is the train with the two guys, and they're, you know, he's trying to have like a come to Jesus moment. See No Evil, which is The Invisible Man, Vendetta, Mad as a Hatter, Eternal Youth. I've Got Batman in My Basement. I don't think this is worse than I've Got Batman in My Basement.
I might put this... What was Eternal Youth? What happened? That was the... Poison Ivy. Alfred Takes the Blue Pill.
Yeah.
I would say this is better than that. I might say this is above Eternal Youth. Mad as a Hatter. That had...
That's the Alice in Wonderland episode. This is the introduction of Mad Hatter. I think that this is actually better than Mad as a Hatter, personally.
Okay.
I think the introduction of Jervis in that episode with being obsessed with his secretary is like kind of weird.
Yeah.
But I don't think I like this more than Vendetta, which is the intro to Killer Croc with like the noir episode Harvey Bullock.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Good, so I think this call. Is a new 28, personally.
I am fine with that.
Cool.
I can probably add it pretty easy.
I got it already.
Oh, got it? Well, look at you. Whiz on your phone.
That's me, man. Blackberry.
She's good with his fingers.
Knight of the Ninja, the new number 28.
Okay.
All right, diving back into our in review. Our next episode is Cat Scratch Fever, written by Sean Catherine Derrick and Buzz Dixon, which is a hell of a writer name, directed by Boyd Kirkland. In terms of our title cards, Zach's looking it up right now because I don't have it, so.
Note to self. Don't just Google search Cat Scratch Fever and assume that if you click image search that you can look that up, because that's what my dumbass just did. Cat.
I bet you there's some heinous stuff on the Google images.
Fever Batman episode title.
It looks like this. It's a cat in a cage.
Eh.
I think the problem for me is that the cat kind of looks like Alien. It like, and then like, this is Cat in the Claw, much cooler,
way better, yeah,
cooler
way
font better. You got the scratch across it. I mean, they literally missed an opportunity with the scratch, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I would say
four out of ten. Yeah,
4 out of 10. Sure.
All right, our 2-minute plot synopsis is as follows. Selena Kyle's case against Catwoman concludes in earning her 5 years probation if she never dons the Catwoman suit again. This is following up The Cat in the Claw Part 1 and 2, where she was turned into the police by Batman. Bruce laments to Alfred that he could never be with Selena because she's actually only in love with Batman, not Bruce Wayne. Selena returns home excited for freedom, but learns that her cat, Isis, that's the little black cat that she does all her crimes with, has disappeared. Selena sets out to search all over town with Batman following from a distance. After feeding some strays, two associates of Daggett Industries arrive to catch the strays. Selena intervenes since they are not recognized as like working for an animal shelter and fights them off with Batman's help. They're like, they have crazy names too, like Pudge and like, it's like,
go get him, Pudge!
Like Moxie or something like that. Sadly, the GCPD arrests Selena for her assault on Daggett's men. This is literally like seconds after Batman swings away, which I think is really funny that he didn't like take her to a roof like he normally does. He just is like, all right, see ya. Daggett's head scientist Milo is testing a toxin on animals that makes them more aggressive. The next test subject is Isis. Batman posts Selena's bail and warns her not to get involved with Roland Daggett. That night, Catwoman breaks into Daggett Labs, and Lucius Fox tells Batman that Daggett plans to roll out a new antitoxin that is supposedly going to flood the, what do you call that stuff? Like, medicine market, whatever, I don't know. At the labs, Catwoman finds...
Pharmaceuticals?
Yes, pharmaceuticals. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Nice job. At the labs, Catwoman finds Isis, who is uncharacteristically evil, and bites her. Milo and the goons let her escape since she is poisoned anyway, and Catwoman begins to feel the effects immediately of the poison. Batman arrives to find a weakened Selena passed out. And this is where I need to pause real quick. I think it's Andrea Barbeau plays the voice of Catwoman or something like that.
Okay.
Her moaning voices that she does when she's inflicted by this poison is a lot to deal with. It's like one of, it's like one of those things, like you were talking about Zelda, where it's like people are like calling in their landlords because they hear the Great Fairy Fountain and they think they're watching porn. But she's just like and Batman's like carrying her around and she's like and I was like, this is suspect.
Turn the volume up.
Crank it. Anyway, back to our plot here. Selena tells Batman about her safe house, and then her and Batman talk about the animals in peril. Batman deduces that Daggett's plan is to infect Gotham with a virus that only he has the cure for by releasing a bunch of stray animals back into the city. Batman fights off the goons and flees with a wild dog in hot pursuit. He's able to use a sample of the antivirus to subdue the dog, but collapses into the lake. Batman then escapes from the icy water and administers the antidote to Selena Kyle. Batman brings the healed Isis back home to Selena. The end. Cat scratch fever.
This episode is whack.
Yeah.
So.
But you never thought you'd seen a Batman plot that hinges on catching strays, infecting them, and releasing them back into the city.
Can't say that I have. Can't say that I have.
Honestly, it's a great idea, though.
It's an interesting idea. So here's what I'll say. The Batman, the bad guy, bad plot is clever, actually.
It's campy. And it has sound. It has soundproof besides Night of the Ninja. That's just like, this guy led to me getting caught and kicked out of a ninja academy. So I'm gonna rob every company that he owns. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The funny thing for me on this episode is that I was rewatching it this morning because I was like, my memory was a little hazy. I wanted to make sure that I was rewatching these episodes before we did the pod. And I rewatched it, and my girlfriend Emily walked into the room as I was watching it. And she sat down for the part where they're in the alley, where Batman does exactly what you talked about, where he talks to Selena, then pieces out. But he says, what's up, and bounces. And then these terrible goons assault Selena Kyle.
Yeah.
And Emily was like, this is Catwoman? This is Catwoman or whatever?
Yeah.
And I just got a good chuckle out of that. Like, it is kind of a weird plot. Like, she tries to stop these goons from like rummaging and getting these stray cats because she has a heart for animals. But yes. Like, she ends up getting, they get like aggravate. She gets like an aggravated assault ticket and gets taken to spend the night in jail.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Because it's a probation violation.
Probation violation. That makes a little bit more sense. I just figured the GCPU is they're just throwing people in fucking prison for no reason overnight. They're like, we better set those downtown or whatever she says.
It's cops. So, I mean, sure. This is a parole violator. I'm sure they're not going to treat her as nicely as others.
That's a good point.
But, yeah, I think I would agree with you. The plot seems like something that they would have written in, like, the 50s.
Yeah, right? This is like an Adam West Batman. This is like a
Silver Age Batman story where it's like this crazy mad scientist has come up with the perfect injectable poison that will make any bite from a stray animal require you to get a vaccine that only one company has. I'm in. I get it. Like, no problem. I've seen tons of action movies like that. It's just weird for Catwoman, and the only reason why it's involved is because it's supposed to add some type of, like, emotional hook with ISIS. You know what I mean?
Sure. So. And the thing that I really like about this episode, like, I'll drop giving it shit at the beginning. Like, I think this episode's pretty decent. I just think that it's an interesting drop because the first Catwoman episode was so strong. I think that this
being terrorists. Yeah. The Red Claw.
This episode being the second time we see her chronologically for our rewatch, like, it's just not as compelling a story for Catwoman.
Not quite there.
Yeah. The other thing that I think is cool is that Selina Kyle is the focal point of the episode. Like, Batman shows up here and there. He's kind of just here as, like, a little thing in the background. Yeah. But, like, she is pretty much the star.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
They do a lot of that. Like, we already saw that a little bit with POV and stuff like that, where it's, like, shifting perspectives of who is kind of the main character of an episode. Robin's Reckoning to an extent as well. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That being said, standout moments for me. I really like any time that they animate water. I think they do such a good job on this show with it. So when he's under the ice, like, trying to reach up and grab them and pull them in, I think that just looks sick. So that was a standout for me.
Standout for me is not necessarily like an animation cell, but I like the way they portray the Bruce and Selina relationship in here. They know each other or who they are. I like the scene where she's like, who posted my bail at 5 a.m. or whatever? And she looks over and Bruce is in the cab and he's like, come on a little bit closer. And she gets in. Do you think he was playing some like fucking Barry White or something when she got in? He's like, my darling.
Maybe. Linda Ronstadt.
Alfred, put up the screen protector or whatever.
Make a couple laps.
Just a couple.
I don't need long. Yeah. All right. Well, in terms of slotting this into our rankings here, I would just go ahead and jump to the fact that I don't think this is better than On Leather Wings, but I don't think it's too far off, personally.
No, I can't in good conscience put this anywhere above Cat in the Claw Part 2.
No, but I do think it's better than the train
okay,
guys.
Okay, I'm having a stroke. Yeah. Because I can't remember. It's never too late.
What? So happened? That's the crime boss Stromberg. He's talking to Batman and he has like this tortured past where his brother and him were playing in the train yard and his brother got injured and lost a leg, but then his brother became a priest and they're like trying to get through to the crime lord.
Okay, you said priest and that immediately reminded me. Yeah, no.
That's a school board,
right? Yeah, this is better than that.
Yeah, for sure. So I think this is our new number 25. Right below Cat in the Claw Part 2.
I think that's a great place for this.
And I think that speaks a little bit to the fact that this and Cat in the Claw Part 2, not great plots in terms of stuff like that, but watching Batman and Catwoman is just something that I think is so ingrained in us as Batman fans it's compelling enough on its own. So. And then to the piece de resistance of this week, our next episode is The Strange Secret of Bruce Wayne, written by David Weiss, Judith and Garfield Reeves Stevens, and directed by Frank Power. Let me pull up our title card here. Strange Secret of Bruce Wayne, just to get this out of the way before we dive into the plot synopsis, is the debut of the villain Dr. Hugo Strange in Batman the Animated Series. So I'm excited to talk to you about that, but I think this title card is sick. It's like a creepy, like, horror magazine from like the 40s.
Awesome.
Where it's like a bloodshot looking bat Bruce Wayne with the skull in his eye and stuff like that. There's fan posters for this that look really cool too with Dr. Hugo Strange. So I'm a big fan of that title card personally. Before we dive into the plot though, Dr. Hugo Strange, is your only experience before this with Arkham City?
Yes. Okay. The Arkham games are my only exposure to Hugo Strange.
We should say that that is the best usage of Dr. Hugo Strange until they decide to portray him in a movie. He in the comics is very much just like mad scientist guy.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I think that Hugo Strange could be a really cool villain to utilize in a Batman movie. It's shocking to me that that hasn't happened yet. Like
Matt Reeves, I'm sure, has probably got that on like a short list of ideas or something.
Definitely.
You know, and if not him, maybe James Gunn. But
yeah. Because Hugo Strange is just he's a compelling villain, but I've just never seen a story arc other than Arkham where he was in City, right?
Arkham City, the second one, yeah.
Okay, yeah, Arkham City. Was he also not in Arkham Knight, too?
He's not.
He's not in Arkham Knight?
He dies.
He dies in Arkham City?
Yeah.
I need to replay
this. Ra's al Ghul kills him.
Oh, fuck.
Remember, he's a puppet for Ra's the whole time?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And then fight Clayface. Yeah, and spoilers for Arkham City, which is like 15 years old.
A 10, 15-year-old game. Yeah, no worries. Don't care. Spoil away. But yeah, I would love to see him portrayed.
Bryan Cranston
is Hugo Strange. Just give him a Russian accent.
He's not. He doesn't have to be Russian. He's just a creepy scientist guy, right?
Creepy scientist man.
Yeah.
That was your to hear minute.
Yep. All right. Well, I'm gonna dive into this 2-minute plot synopsis because we got a date tonight. So
we're doing fine on time.
Yeah, I know, I agree. At a closed bridge in Gotham, a woman who is Judge Vargas meets an unmarked car for a shady deal. The man in the deal has a tape with her name on it. Thankfully, Batman arrives in time to break the deal, but Vargas knocks herself out attempting to recover the tape, which is lost into the Gotham Bay. Batman tells Jim Gordon that she must be blackmailed about something because Judge Vargas is a pretty uncorruptible member of society. The GCPD runs the plates, and it's registered in the same area that Vargas went on vacation. This is the car that was at the deal, that is. Bruce enrolls in the same vacation resort that Vargas did, a mental health retreat ran by a person named Dr. Hugo Strange. Time out. This is the second retreat that he's gone to recently.
Stop going to retreats.
It's kind of weird that they didn't catch that. This is a better version, though, I think, than
Eternal. Well, gee golly, I really should go to this retreat. I should just
keep going to more spas, yeah.
I love getting invitations in the mail.
Yeah, it's just like very sketchy. This is in the day of like crime and people being conned out of their money with like infomercials. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
There's a prince in Nigeria that wants my
money. Yes.
Is that an episode of Batman the Animated
Series? It's not.
But Batman gets swindled by a Saudi prince.
That would actually be really funny. At the first appointment at the spa, Strange tells Bruce that he will lower Bruce's defenses. Strange is able to see Bruce's memories of his parents' death, and then Strange discovers that Bruce feels responsible and is angered and wanted vengeance. Strange sees that Bruce turned that vengeance into becoming Batman. Strange calls the Joker and invites him to an auction with the tape of Batman's identity. Bruce searches the tapes that Strange keeps on hand and finds the tape of Vargas. Strange's tape for Vargas was that she was getting blackmailed for being an arsonist as a young girl. She was playing with matches and caused the Gotham dock fire 30 years ago. Bruce then realizes that the machine can actually see your thoughts, and piecing two and two together, realizes now that Strange knows that he's Batman. Gotham's Most Wanted arrive to the auction. Joker, Two-Face, and Penguin, they've all flown to this isolated location to bid on the tape for the identity of Batman. Bruce is erasing the tapes while Strange is out and then begins to record a new inner thought of his own. Then he destroys the computer. All three of the villains combine their money for the tape, and Batman plugs in his tape instead, which shows a fake memory of Strange claiming that he plans to con the criminals out of their money. They take him as prisoner aboard their plane, and Batman chases after them. Strange then tells them that Bruce Wayne is Batman, but none of them believe him. Batman wrecks the plane and confronts all the archenemies. GCPD arrives via blimp to catch them all in the middle of nowhere, which I think is funny. Strange tells Gordon that Bruce is Batman, and then Bruce Wayne rolls up out of nowhere to give Batman an alibi. After everyone leaves, the quote-unquote Bruce is revealed to be Dick Grayson in a mask. The end. Strange secret of Bruce Wayne. What'd you think?
It's an interesting episode. It's an interesting narrative. It doesn't really go the way that I kind of expected it to go. You get some perchance to dream vibes in the episode. There's some like flashbacks, the visualizations of him like looking in the TV. I really, really, spoilers for the animation that I really like. I just really like the the look of like the mind warp television stuff and all that. Like, it's very Clockwork Orange.
Yes, very much like, yeah, some type of crazy, yeah, dystopian almost.
But it's good. Overall, it's good. Again, like, I think all three of these episodes were kind of like, they're all a little, they're safe. I wasn't expecting the Joker pop in. That was cool.
Yeah, having them and Two-Face and Penguin just kind of like shoved into the third act kind of already raises the stakes a little bit.
Yeah, too. So I liked the episode. I didn't love it. I think that Hugo Strange is cool. I liked, but I just wish that he was utilized in a better way instead of another swindle Batman into coming to a retreat thing to get like assigned by a doctor. You would assume that Bruce Wayne's smart enough to know that he's only going to trust specific physicians. But, you know, I don't know what Gotham City healthcare looks like.
I think it is weird too that he's just like, oh yeah, I'll let this guy scan my brain. But you know, it's a cartoon. So
it's a cartoon.
It's fine. In terms of just like Hugo Strange's like voice performance and everything, I kind of liked it. I thought it was really, really cool though that they had the moment where he's like, Bruce Wayne is Batman, and Harvey's like, he's not Batman, I know Bruce Wayne. He's like, there's no way that guy could be Batman. And they just like, none of them believe them. It makes you wonder if they ever were to reveal his identity, how many people wouldn't be able to buy it, because they've lived so long with Batman being like this mythological creature.
Yeah,
it really adds to the feeding into the legend of how is he able to keep his secret identity so much when he sleeps with so many people, you know?
But yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I would love to see explored more. I don't know if the show ever does it, but like, you know, the idea of the fact that it's like, well, if there was a crime-fighting vigilante in the United States of America, and he was like an infamous name for years, like a Banksy type, but not art.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it was like someone was like, "Yo, Barack Obama is Banksy." We'd all be like,
"No way.
Fucking high."
Yeah, there's no.
So
way.
It's like we wouldn't believe that at all. But it's like that's kind of the same.
Or if they're like Donald Trump used to be president, we'd be like, "Whoa." There's no way.
You told Bruce that in the Batman series. He's like, he's like, great Scott. Get to the back computer.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that being said, I really enjoy, you know, I enjoy having the villains in this. I think it's a fun little thing.
Yeah,
I think it's weird that he's going to another retreat to catch a villain that's running
the weirdest
an underground blackmail operation. But in terms of like cool, like visual moments, I really like seeing all the villains get off the plane. I think that's
pretty sick. Yeah, it's a fun moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
having all of their like theme songs kick in too, written by Shirley Walker. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, not that I think we could write these any better than the team did for BTOS or whatever, but it's like, it seems easy enough to just be like, okay, have the opening sequence, Batman's grappling with a little bit of like mental anguish or something like that. He's just kind of like, you know, I'm feeling cloudy, Robin, or I'm like, I don't feel quite like myself. I wonder if maybe talking to a professional might help or something like that. And then you introduce this Doctor Strange.
Protecting your reality, douchebag.
But yeah, regardless though, I think the episode's fun. It's cool. I like Doctor Strange. I love the fake out with like the identity reveal. It is very cool.
I love the turtleneck that Bruce is rocking. He's got like that gray turtleneck. He's very, very Michael Keaton.
Bruce Wayne is a fashionista, man. He's a fashion icon. That dude knows how to rock a look.
He's a real killer, that's for sure.
It's I can't believe that Selena didn't want to fucking rock his world in that.
Well, it's because he's always wearing that mustard and brown suit. You know, if he showed up wearing a turtleneck like that, he looked like Don DeLaNucci.
He's got the Steve Jobs.
Yeah, yeah. Very rocking. Steve Jobs. Very Steve Jobs.
Do you want me to tell you about the iPod, Selena?
The Bat Pod.
Never leave home without it.
All right. Well, in terms of slotting this thing into our rankings here as well, I think On Leather Wings still probably better than this.
Yeah, I'm like trying to think in my head. I'm like, I still think On Leather Wings just has a more compelling start to finish. I like the noir aspect of On Leather Wings, where it's like, it's very much, you're following this one specific thing. I just think that On Leather Wings is a very tight episode. It's real good all the way around. Yeah. I think that this is a little bit stumbly to get going, but then the second half kicks off.
Yeah, for sure. So beneath that, we have Feet of Clay Part 1. I think that's better than this. Be a Clown, thumbs up, GIF.
Yeah, I can't put this above that.
Yeah. Fear of Victory is the sports betting scarecrow.
I'm going to put that above this.
I like that episode a lot, the more I think about it. Cat in the Claw Part 2.
This is tricksy.
This is where it gets kind of into an interesting point, because Cat in the Claw Part 2 is from a bigger story, which is always fun to have those nice long stories where they have a bigger runway. But I think Part 2 of that two-parter is easily worse than the origin of Catwoman in Cat in the Claw Part 1. I think this is better than Cat Scratch Fever, though. So it just kind of...
Yeah, that's the thing.
Depends on if we think this is better than the Cat in the Claw Part 2.
I'll side with whatever you think here, but I definitely think that it doesn't go any lower than Cat Scratch Fever, because I think this is more entertaining to watch than Cat Scratch Fever. I just don't remember. I'm struggling to remember Cat in the Claw Part 2, like, specificity.
That's more of, like, the fight with Red Claw and the missiles getting launched, and there's, like, cougars running around, and... I think I would probably lean with this over that. I don't particularly enjoy Part 2 of that two-parter as much.
I say let's put it above that. All right. I think this settles as the new
24.
This is going to
be our new number 24. Strange Secret of Bruce Wayne. So.
Also, cool title.
Great.
For not as good of a utilization of that title. I was expecting a more... I don't know, mystery. I guess I was expecting more mystery, but it turns out really the mystery is just like the Doctor is not who he says he is.
Yeah.
And we learned about Hugo Strange.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, then just starting from 21 going down, because we already know that it didn't crack the top 20.
Sure.
Our new rankings here, Feet of Clay Part 1, Be a Clown, Fear of Victory, Strange Secret of Bruce Wayne, Cat in the Claw Part 2, Cat Scratch Fever, It's Never Too Late, See No Evil, Vendetta, Night of the Ninja at 30. Then at 31, we have Mad as a Hatter, Eternal Youth, I've Got Batman in My Basement, The Forgotten, Prophecy of Doom, The Cape and Cowl Conspiracy, and The Underdwellers.
Ooh.
And I think on our next episode of Radio Vision, we might have to start adding some more breaks in between these two lists. But we can talk about that when we get to the next episode. But thank you guys for hanging in with us.
What do we have on the next three? What's the next three?
You look that up. I'm going to do some of the plugs here because I don't have that pulled up.
That's fine.
If you like the show, again, check us out, radiovania.com. Go to YouTube, look for Radiovania. Radiovisionshow@gmail.com. Send us your emails, questions, comments, concerns. Let us know if you are a big Hugo Strange fan and thought that we should have ranked that higher. And then Radiovania Show on Instagram, Radiovania on Twitter, and Radiovania Show on Threads.
Okay, the next three episodes that we have for the next episode of Radio Vision, this is your homework, y'all. Heart of Steel Part 1, Heart of Steel Part 2, and If You're So Smart, Why Aren't You Rich?
Oh, that's a fun one. Very cool.
Cool.
Yeah, so we get a classic Batman villain next week and then a non-classic one, but a pretty interesting episode, so we'll see what you think about that. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, but thank you guys for listening. Catch us again next time, same Bat Podcast, same Bat Podcast feed. Have a good night.